the cloud for everyone. All right, welcome aboard to week number 7. 75% yes, 25% more yeses, here to be candid and real. And I have been asking the universe that everything become easier and easier and easier. And when it is, I say thank you. And when it isn't, I say, now universe, remember, I put a request in for things to be easy. So at minimum, let our time together be easy and the winds be easy. And if you choose to carry that mantra forward into your world, you are more than welcome. Alrighty, quick memory jog, actually. I thought, as opposed to the mindfulness cartoons, I'd toss this in. Any memory, either from the original webinar and or from the first week, what are the two main settings that we practice mindfulness in? Not sort of physical locations, but more trying to give a hint without giving the answer. Slightly more behavioral related, not locational related. Any memories, any guesses? Two ways we practice. Let the hints keep coming. Sounds like.
Relaxed?
That's actually always, and good for you, that is a great guess. It's practice in, and fill in the blank. It starts with an S, and practice in, and starts with an A.
Silence.
That's also very good. And I think that might be close to it. Let's give it away and say stillness, practice in stillness. And therefore, if the first one is practice in stillness, which is your 10 minute, 15 minute, 20 minute, 68 second, whatever a day, or twice a day, as you've been doing, what could be the other way to practice that starts with an A? Practice in
action.
Woohoo! All right. Loving it. Yeehaw! And so that we start to look like this in the world, because what's behind her is kind of what the world looks like. It's like every once in a while I sort of step out, I'm part of it, and I'm like going whatever to anywhere from a client to a tile shop, because Nikki knows I'm in reno mode. And then I step out of it, whether out of the fray of other people or my own fray. And I notice, oh, look, I'm stressing over a bathroom vanity or whatever's going on, you know? And it's not even to say stressing, but it's just less than full bliss, I will say. And, oh, if I was really enjoying this process, what would that feel like? If I was really in flow with this process, how might it go? If I was really acknowledging of the people that are in the process with me, how would I be with them? As examples of unedited inner dialogue that comes up immediately as soon as I kick out of caught in the moment and as soon as I jump out to what the mindfulness practice calls the observer. So no need to comment, but either in the chat box or audio, if you have any, I had, you know, reactions to that, questions about that, or store anecdotes of you starting to get it, quote unquote, more when you're in action, bopping around the world as well as in stillness.
With the app, I found a couple of walking meditations. So
nice. That is a great augmentation, because all of a sudden your whole body gets kind of rewired or into mindfulness. So great. Any noticings? Have you given it a test run? How did it go?
You really kind of connect more with each part of your foot and your leg and your everything. And yeah, it's a nice awareness.
Yeah. I've done hundreds, maybe thousands of hours of that. It's like lift, 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 place, place, lift, lift, either in regular speed and or in slow-mo. So I know one of my mindfulness, coaches back in India, my first 10-day silent retreat, he would take like 45 minutes to cross his little whatever 5x5 or 10x10 room he was sleeping in. So you can really play with it. Good for you. Any others, additions, insights, or ways that you've applied practice in action, or you've just caught yourself being more aware as you're in action?
Well, and when I hula hoop, for sure.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Great.
It's really mind-body connection, and it's like every time the hoop touches your body, you're connected with it, and you're pushing and pulling and doing all, like, really, yeah. So I use that, too.
Nice. And back to Rewired for Success for a moment, the how to nail a great day all day, every day on the outer game, P-cubed, pure focus, priorities, and play. Another grad of Rewired used to hoop for her play, her celebration of her business wins. So cool. You can use it as play and mindfulness. All right. So
what's that? Who is that? Do I know them?
Ada?
No.
Ada Van something something.
I thought I knew everybody in the hoop community.
There you go. I can connect you. Okay. All right. So wins, also love to hear audio on any of these, whether it's the pre-side of, even if you didn't do your homework with the table of benefits and discovery questions, love to see each of you toss in the chat box one benefit that you deliver on. And Nikki can be on either of your businesses, the staging or the horses. At least one benefit, and then flip that benefit into a question. So love to see at least one example from each of you in the chat box, because it is a powerful process. And then you can feel like you got your homework done right now and here. And after you do that, love to hear if anybody was really practiced being present to a prospect or a client. And or any other sales, inner or outer game wins. So those are the win themes. But let's first get a win on one benefit that your product service brings, and then flip that benefit into, nice, Cheryl, a discovery question, breakthrough perceived limitations. Are you referring to your art, and would that be to an individual consumer or a hotel? Either in the chat box or audio, either one.
It would be one of the benefits when I do the corporate training and the personal painting.
Okay. You do corporate training on art?
Yes, that's the new business that I'm starting.
Nice. I knew that from the beginning, but I was just wanting to confirm that I had it. I don't want to make assumptions as I move through. So, right, breaking through perceived limitations, and or from a corporate languaging standpoint, talk about creativity enhancing.
Yes.
And so let's help her out. Let's actually work on this one. And each one of us now help Cheryl out. And so let's just say the benefit is build or increase, doesn't matter, creativity. Okay, great, Nancy coming through. But for a moment, let's just focus on Cheryl and have her in the limelight of the mastermind. And I want each of us to toss in one or two questions that she could ask a corporate prospect that would see if their game for her artistic creativity building training. So let's everybody give that a shot, including you, Cheryl.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that for days.
Yeah, okay, all is well. It might be a two-parter too, so this isn't necessarily the exact linguistics, but
I like that.
So that could be a three-question series. Let's just come back to what limitation or challenge do you see you or your staff having? Yeah, great, Nikki. Nancy, have you looked at your business challenge from a creative perspective? Yeah, great as well. And then three-part series, do you have a need to continually innovate? Do you find that your team tends to get stuck generating ideas from the past? What would it be worth to you? See, what would it be worth to you? You know, a number of you were describing challenges around your pricing or feeling confident about your pricing. Very healthy to ask after you've uncovered the need, then move into before you go to the solution, what would it be worth to you to, if your team, if whatever, and fill in the blank. How do you encourage creativity within your organization? Right, what have you done in the past? Great, Nancy. Very good. We may not, you know, have solved the entire thing, but does that, one, does that jumpstart you, Cheryl? And or two, is there something that jumps out at you, or does that trigger new ideas for you?
All those ideas are fabulous, and yes, it has re-motivated me to dig deeper.
Good, good, good. Love it. That's exactly what we're going for. What would an innovative idea generate for your company? Yeah, nice. And that's a getting at a different side of the value. So you're asking about the block that you can solve. You're asking about the value if you could shift it, and then you get into their desire to, and then you get into the actual conversation. And not getting into the details of what brushes you use and what colors and canvas. It's not about the features. Staying with the benefits once you move into that second phase. Great. No need. Does anybody else want to be hot seated? Either Nikki or Nancy.
I need to re-listen to our call a bit more, but yeah, put me
awesome. Just jumpstart us. So we're in the, so everybody knows we're in the realm of advisory boards. Yes?
Correct. Yes.
And which is what Nancy helps companies build. What would be one of the key things you solve, the gains you solve based on
the main thing is that I put together a team of experts committed to helping the business solve their biggest challenges. So they literally can make like one idea, one new direction could make millions of dollars. Like eliminating one incredibly costly mistake could save hundreds of thousands, and that one connection with someone, you know, who's could suck, like that. The
yeah. What are one or two examples of quote unquote their biggest challenges that advisory boards solve, just to take it one more level of concreteness?
Well, it's usually there's two, but I would say it's strategy. Like, you know, what do we do next? How do we grow? How do we take our business to the next level? You know, you don't know what you don't know. So it's like putting all those people together in a room. So it depends on the company and what their challenge is and what kind of company they are. But it's that idea of, you know, their hindsight is your foresight, right? Like, it's like, you know, so many people are afraid to go out and ask, and very successful people want to give back. So it's almost my job is connecting the people who, you know, need advice and the people who want to give advice.
Yeah. Okay. Let's all take a shot at that. I'm just going to come up with the end question first, or the sort of C instead of A, B, just because it's top of mind here, but let's all take a shot at questions that would unearth the pain in relation to these options of gain, whether it's growth or strategy, biggest business challenges. Again, it's a... I don't know if I spelled that right, but you get the idea. Nancy, who do you turn to when you have a big decision to make? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could simply ask them, what are the top 1 to 3 biggest challenges? Maybe a part B that's related, a drill down, and or maybe a part C of the cost of challenge. And then bam, what would it be worth to you to have people who've already know how to solve it? That's actually quite a good sequence because you don't necessarily have to get customized.
Mm-hmm.
They'll customize it based on the first question.
Right.
Actually, that's quite a go-to sequence. You have A, you might have a drill down on B. What's the cost of that challenge? What's it worth to you? They're similar, but you could play with it. That might be it right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in your private session, we went after it too. Cool. I'm conscious of more meat this week. I'm also conscious of Nikki. Nikki, you want a piece of our wisdom or what's up? Screenshot.
That was me.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what's up. I've been looking at benefits, and my monkey mind has been playing games with me all week. Like, what benefits, Nick?
Yeah, I can.
What do you really do?
I can feel it. Are you
like, okay, I'm not listening to you.
Are you focusing on the staging or the healing horses?
No, the healing horses. The staging part, like I could do that with one hand tied behind my back and I'm bored of it now.
Yes. right. Okay. So on the healing horses, tell me a before and after. Tell us a before and after of one of the horses you treated.
Actually, it's not far away from here. I did one best treatment on this horse. And it was funny because... her muscles were all jittery and everything, and she snapped her head back and broke loose of the cross ties and headed to the other end of the barn, and everybody was freaking out except me, and I'm just like, okay, she's fine. Don't worry. We put her back, and, you know, I completed the treatment. And then weeks later, I got a text saying, I don't know what you did to this horse, but it's a completely different horse. Mm. And prior to that, she couldn't do anything above a walk. She would appear lame, so she was limping. And so she was a school horse and couldn't do anything. And she was basically, you know, went to the vet and they had x-rays taken, MRIs, and they could find nothing wrong with her.
Perfect. Let's go to work, team. What questions could Nikki ask horse owners in relation to that as being only one of examples of what she's able to do? Go for it. Cool. What we got coming? I think I've been stuck on that. The owner called me. Oh, Jesus. The lady was thrilled with theirs. Uh-huh. Well, there's 7 points of contact for one. Two, it's all about them when they make those kind of comments. Three, clear it with SRM. Call anyways in general. Get testimonials. Because it's about the next horse you're going to heal, not about somebody saying some weird word, would be my very quick coaching that we can delve into more on your private session. How much of an investment have you already made? Yes, right, very good. Yes, sunk cost is also a good way to look at it. Great, Nancy. Sure, I am very challenged with the inquiry process. I feel myself shutting down. With somebody asking you or with you asking other people? Cheryl, Nikki, got it, and I did get a visual for her. Oh, look at you, look at you. I think I remember you talking about her, and I was coaching you through the linguistics of getting it, and with me asking, what's your top, now that you have built your mindfulness, what is your strongest see, hear, or feel in that you're experiencing in relation to asking people questions, Cheryl? See how to train, how we got a common language now. Is it typically emotions in your gut? Is it inner dialogue? What see, hear, feel tends to come up in relation to that, Cheryl? I don't know what to ask. Right, so, yes, me too, Cheryl. Yeah, so this is typical of the lifelong habit of not prepping in life, period. At some point, you got... and each one of us got thrown into the deep end, the during unit. Somebody said something you didn't like, or you seemingly screwed up, or you didn't get the sale, you didn't know what to do. And some part of you interpreted that as, I'm not going to put myself in that situation again. It's not safe. Which may have kept you, you know, broke, undersold, whatever, because some situation during the juring unit, you didn't like it unconsciously. Some see, hear, feel happened in or out. I'm guesstimating now, just seeing if this is intuitively helpful territory. And therefore, as opposed to cycling higher, i.e. reflecting, going back and prepping and road testing higher and higher to succeed, you decided not to put yourself in that situation anymore. And in business and in sales, that can be lethal if we decide not to sell anymore or talk to people anymore or get good at the skill. And so I would highly recommend taking a better look at that from a subconscious reward method, noticing what that moment is or that experience was or that sensation is now, clearing that one to on your inner game, to prepping in relation to your outer game in a better way, like I've been giving you, and then going back into the during unit with a new unit of time, enjoying the exchange conversation. So I'll pause there. That was probably three significant chunks. Was that helpful? Was it on point, Cheryl and or Nikki? Because it's one, it's good that you're identifying it, but I don't want you to just stay stuck in the, okay, I had a bad experience at some point, so I'm going to just stay not liking it. It's an expensive.
I'm going to say this as opposed to typing, because I can't type that fast.
Yep.
So yes, it is definitely on point, because as you're saying that, I'm like, oh, look, it was a feel in. And the sense I got was, oh, look it, she's a crazy lady. I don't believe this. And right. At some point, it was like, how can I make people believe that? I can't make people believe this.
Yeah, you don't need to. And it's not, it seems maybe tougher, but it's not unlike, I don't know, cabinets or something. You know, how can the cabinet maker make me believe that he can do a good cabinet, because I've seen bad cabinets. You know, and that is an understandable but old paradigm, even in quote unquote mainstream products and services, of the old paradigm is I need to make somebody believe something. And
yeah, it's about convincing somebody. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm not here to convince you.
Exactly. And thank God we're having this conversation, because it's definitely, the old paradigm of selling, which is sort of exhausting and unsuccessful. And it makes me, or less successful. It also makes me think of four of the WeVo principles that are some of the best principles that Brett has put into the WeVo model, the WeVo Global that Cheryl and I met in, that Nancy hopped on the global call today, and that you're invited to as well, Nikki, every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We have a global intention setting call. And I can get you the data. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. WeVo Freedom. He talks of living in a world, or living in a way, in relation to other people without no expectation, manipulation, judgment, or control. Very powerful four elements to become more free. And it really applies to more successful new paradigm selling as well, which is, and I think each one of you, almost all of you, have experienced a private dialogue with me where I will say, and I mean it every time, I am unattached to what the right answer is. I'm committed to guiding you to the right answer. And so we collaborate in a conversation of exploring what's your goal, what's your gap, and might this goal fill this gap? And 99% of the time I come up with the same answer as, you know, the prospect client of, oh, it's not right for me now, or it is. So it's actually a pleasure to have these conversations, which is taking a stand for the client, or taking a stand for the horse, or taking a stand for the horse owner, of this is a new reality is possible for you. That's what we're exchanging, is new realities. Whether it's a cabinet or a healed horse or a new advisory board or a beautiful painting or a creativity class, all of us offer new realities for people. And the reality is we're all looking for new realities. We're dream exchanging. People have dreams and we fulfill them. We have dreams and other people fulfill our dreams. So it's a bit of a kind of a long-winded way but I did it intentionally to give you a sense of the new paradigm is not about pushing or manipulation or control or judgment or et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot more of taking a stand for someone and walking beside them and coming to a shared conclusion. So Cheryl, very on point and very similar to what I tell people who have shut down their creativity. Aha, perfect. So you could use your creativity track to customize it, adapt it to your sales explorations and conversations. I'm going to have to listen to the whole portion again and really go deep. Beautiful. Yeah, this whole first 30 minutes, there's a lot here. I'm totally off script and totally exactly, hopefully matching exactly where each of you are, which can cause the biggest breakthrough. So I'm glad you're going to do that, Cheryl. This is a pattern I've had since, yes, I very young, goes back to having no voice, exactly, that we were working on and clearing in that session. So great connection. Here's the next layer. Beautiful. Nikki, I've been feeling like I have to convince people this works for their animals. No wonder I don't want to approach them. Exactly. You've got, I would clear the judgment of the Chiquita who said whatever first. I would also clear the need to convince and push. And then I would anchor in the delight of bringing relief to their horses and bringing relief to the hearts and minds of horse owners. And I would absolutely own that. And then I would like rush out and share that with people. So beautiful work, both on the inner game recognizing and more clearings. We'll never run out of good material for the subconscious rewired method to be applicable. The mindfulness practice is now starting to infiltrate all of your life because at least you're not running unconscious. At minimum, each one of you are going to hear it is clearer and more conscious as to what is being triggered. Therefore, you can diagnose it faster and self-prescribe faster and get solutions faster on your inner game, let alone welcome to the new world of sales and dream exchange. I think I have to get that. Thank you, Heather and MYOB team. Yeah, wonderful. Great. Making it worthwhile to be on. That's the key. I'm not about, again, pushing play and just auto-speaking. I wanted to always really bring real this moment value. So awesome. Continuing on, if there's anything else in terms of last week that you want to share, either a complete, if anybody had a complete experience of their prospect, their client, or as much as you could, fantastic, on your inner game, and or any prospect client conversations that you wish to share before we get into the new, or carry forward on the material, love to hear it, and or throughout. So I will leave that for now, and it's all, it's an open invitation. So brief highlights, carrying forward from this week, yay sales, yay satisfied clients, the memory that it is an exchange, and we're going to look at that even deeper this week, the anatomy of sales and business exchange, on the having a complete experience when listening, and have and being aware of the external cues when you're speaking. As well, we looked at, again, the inner game possibilities around the mindfulness practice of the sales convo and clearing sales triggers, which more are coming up. Great. And then the before, during, and after of the sales experience. Well, actually, here's the mindfulness images and the subconscious rewired, so the one A and B. And then final on the review, which I'd love to now pause on and take more time on, is did anyone download and or look at and or have any insights or next level learnings around the custom sales booking formula, sales closing checklist, and or sales doubling scorecard. So I'll pause there.
I downloaded, I haven't had time, but from a listening and a quasi sales standpoint, because I have these people who sell on my behalf, but I had Friday a really great meeting with one of my colleagues on a client that I'm working on his behalf. And I went through the strategic plan, the high level, and he loved it. And then I asked a lot of questions and I listened and let him give me lots more input, and I just really kind of watched and then was able to include it in the next step report.
Love it. Love it. Asked more questions, listened more, really heard him, was able to integrate it back and feed it back into the next level report. I sense a difference. I haven't been in your before and after meetings. Is there one key golden nugget that you noticed that you gained because of it? Or did they notice anything? Or was there one particular gestalt win out of that?
I think it was just really, it was just a matter of kind of thinking along the same level, but just having things kind of nested slightly differently. And you know, that kind of understanding where, why, and where he felt something should be nested slightly different than where I had nested it. Mm-hmm. And also just being totally open, because it's like, when, you know, the financial side and that is not necessarily my super duper forte. So it was, so that was, I mean, it was, I don't know, but it was aha, but it was just reaffirming to say, like, to have someone go, you know, yeah, you nailed it, but here's how my perspective, and this is how I would slightly do it, and these are the reasons why, and kind of going, oh, okay, I get that. That's
nice. Nice, nice. A couple of wins, both on the that second half, actually, of as we listen in a different way. One, we're going to get clearer answers of what our clients want, whether it's the hotelier or whether it's the horse owner, et cetera, the business owner. And you will be in a place of what's called confidence humility, as opposed to the old way is superiority, inferiority, and we oscillate whether we think we should be superior to the prospect to show them what we know, and or then we flip into feeling inferior about the price or whether they get it, blah blah blah. It's just a trap all the way around, versus confidence, spelling confidence, humility, two sides of a much healthier coin.
Right.
All of a sudden, you are both confident in what you know. You're confident because you're listening and you can play it back, but you're also humble enough that some of the ideas will come from our clients.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And you know what? The other part of that is that it was, I don't know whether it's detachment or hear in or hear out or whatever it was, but it's just like I wasn't taking anything personally, like this is, you know, wrong or whatever. It was so much more collaborative. Right.
I've got a word in my chat box. I'm not going to hit send. Somebody else put in the chat box, what of the mindfulness practice is that phenomena? And that's awesome that you're experiencing. What's one word that is actually causing slightly, almost unattached, but care, but not that much, less emotionally triggered? Bango, bango. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All three and all that in. Yes. That is a subtle but hugely significant, much more relaxing, better on all your vital signs, and more sane to work with and a pleasure as a client. You know, I've had it when I feel like somebody's pushing their solution on me and it's just tiring to resist it. And nicely, exactly, Nikki. And I know you've been experiencing it too, Nikki, regardless of what state you're in temporarily, of this more, wow, I can see the bird coming before it's even arrived. And that's both an awareness, but it's also an equanimity, because as we don't lock on to things, we have an expanded awareness, and the unlocking is another phenomena of the equanimity. So awesome all around. Okay, great. Any others? Did you have a chance, Nikki or Cheryl, to access any of these three? If so, any questions? All is perfect if you didn't, knowing that they're there. Okay. All is well. The key. Okay. All is well, Cheryl. Thanks for the feedback. The key is, for both of you, I think it's really getting wins on inner clearing, outer prepping. Inner clearing, outer prepping. It's not about, oh God, I got to pick up the phone. Again, you're jumping into the during unit. I want you to have work more on the before unit. Inner clearing, outer prep. Inner clearing, outer prep. It's going to build and clear a lot of your past experience with the during unit that you, thank you, Nikki, that you've both kind of reported from the scene that has triggered you in the past. So before unit, inner clearing, outer prep. Awesome. Okay, great. And so without further ado, and this is very much related.
I just want to add in one little thing about the outer prep. So I had prep, I had gone through and I had made some changes and I had two scenarios that I could roll out that I had prepped that was also, I think, a big part of why I had, it was such a successful meeting.
Yeah, nice. And that I often, even though my facilitative approach designs my questions in advance, and what, mark my words, my facilitative new paradigm approach, prep in advance questions, I also take a stab at answering the prospect's possible answers to the questions as well. Which leads me to what you just discovered was, it could go two different ways. Let me now prep two possible solutions.
Yeah.
Very clear of what healthy things happen in prep. Prep's half the game in life. Lord has been flying with the best. I'm beginning to see the value. Yay. Yay. Exactly. It's like, what is it in staging? 80% is prepping the walls and then the painting's easy. Same vibe, just parallel. Same with prepping the canvas, prepping your art studio. Awesome. Never get bored, as I say, of seeing these seven sweet things coming in. We've been working and we'll continue to work the sales process. We started it actually in number four as we started to look at our sales relationships, then head on this past week, and we'll carry it through this week as well. So we've really got 3 weeks overlapping in this whole conversation. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in the sixth of the seven business killers, which is service suicide, and one simple picture, which in simple terms, it's underwhelming our clients. Worst case, we're actually pissing them off. But love to see quantitative numbers in the chat box where high numbers, meaning it's more of an issue, you're either getting complaints and or returns and or underwhelming the client. Mid numbers is you're good, yet you're objectively probably on par with the competition. You're giving them a decent experience. And low numbers is you're overwhelming them, in this time in a good way, with giving them an epic client experience. And once you put in the quantitative, feel free to put it in a qualitative phrase to expand on why you're saying that. Okay, Nancy, I always overdeliver, so the stress is on me and I'm killing myself. God bless your pea picking heart. Really good awareness on the upside for the client, but what about me, the entrepreneur? In short, that's actually module 10 in Rewired for Business. It's about systematizing for ourselves, and I don't say that lightly. I know it's significant, but it's at minimum systematizing ourselves in various stages of onboarding, delivery, et cetera, and or systematizing and outsourcing. A whole nother theme, and I hear you. Cheryl, 3, everyone has loved my classes. Awesome, corporate and personal. Great, that's awesome, Cheryl. Nikki, with staging 1, 2 in 10 years, I have very few complaints with clients who don't pay about 6. That's awesome. But the horse is not sure, got it. If you were to sort of guesstimate where you're at in that service delivery, feel free to do that, Nikki. Just sort of tune into your sense of that as it's evolving for you. Wonderful. So this is less of an issue. Having said that, I'm still going to bring in some new material around the before, during, and after unit of the entire sales and service experience. So bringing relevance to you. Just sort of recapping, it's really bringing these two in, not only the sales, but the satisfaction of the clients. And I want to bring this one in one more because we're moving into the service side, which is, yes, I define business as this bridge of exchange, anywhere from exchange of your products and services for dollars, exchange of skills, relationships, and exchange of energy. And that's where business happens. Yet the key to remember is what can make or break it is it's the exchange part. We tend to potentially focus on the dollars part of that next sale. Yet it ain't over when we make the sale. It's just beginning. And to really be conscious of that in a way, it sounds like all of you are, to bring great experience, product, service, and yet, as Nancy so noticed or recognized, to also do it in a way that's more and more sane and sustainable for you as the entrepreneur, so it works for everyone. Great. And so let's briefly notice on the inner game and then on the outer game and then back to various coaching options of what could be most of service to you. But on the inner game, thank God, hallelujah, the actual quote-unquote routines on the mindfulness side are the same. We're just now focusing on the anatomy of service and in terms of creating or producing an epic client experience. And so as Nancy was reporting to in her meeting with her client, you are in the listening process, are hearing out in a deeper way so that you have a more complete experience of what they want, not just what you think you should deliver. In fact, Nikki and I were talking about this on the staging side. Can't remember how you put it, Nikki, but it was something like, you'll have a great idea for a house and then a client has an idea for a house and the challenge of letting go of your see, hear, feel about the house and allowing them to have their experience in the design journey, let alone to potentially select something they want. And it's a fine balance as we cross the line from sales into service delivery, because it still is an exchange as we go. So feel free in the chat box or on the audio to add, interject, ask, insights, etc. at any time. The speaking side is, again, same routine, but on the mindfulness side, yay, because we've had 3 weeks now of focusing on this listening and speaking routine, and thanks for Nancy on that one, where on the speaking side, okay, I may be doing the hear out, but, or, and I'm looking for those cues in relation to, am I still on track? Are we, you know, it's that, what is the space shuttle? It's off course 95% of the time, and it's constantly mid-course and correcting. So we'll never be always aligned with our client, and don't get cocky and fall asleep. Stay awake to how we can align our spaceship to continuously deliver a great experience. And that's what's going to produce replication, testimonials, referrals, upsells, etc. Nikki's coming in here. Not sure. Maybe a 3 or 4 because they don't understand what I do. Yes. Okay. Great, Nikki. Yep. Especially for us control freaks. Which part was the yep on the control freak side? Oh yes. I was giving the designer experience. You do a great job. Yes. Let it go, Nikki. You do an awesome job. And I get it. It's like, it's like when I do a consult of Rewired. It's like somebody, an entrepreneur, will report the malaise, the pain of their inner game and their outer game. And I'll say, okay, boom, bada, boom, boom. Do this on your inner game in terms of rewiring, and do this on your outer game, boom, 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 on your new sales script, new sales approach. And they come back to me next week going, well, I kind of, sort of. And I'm like, ah, so to speak. You know, I'm just giving you an example outside of your own experience of course, we're the pros in our own turf. And so we got into it not only because we're pros, but because we have a passion for other people to gain mastery and to change their reality in this area. And so when they don't fully change their reality in the direction we want them to, it seems like, what's the matter with you? You're messing with my painting, so to speak. So all of this is good to build awareness, have equanimity with, and actually you can put a prospect or a customer scenario in your mindfulness practice. And I would highly encourage that. I've been the last 3 weeks suggesting you do it live with them. A really good process is to do these exact same processes in a practice in stillness, where we call it evoke. So you evoke the challenging prospect that's challenging your ideas, for example, where you tend to get triggered, and soak it with equanimity, your see, hear, feel about it in stillness, a practice in stillness, so that you don't get so triggered when it's live. So practice in stillness, evoke the scenario, and then practice in action gets a whole lot easier. We were talking about easy. Alrighty. Makes sense? Any questions, any feedback, any ha-has? Other than thank you, Nikki, coming in the chat box. Good, I'm glad. Okay, great. And I appreciate the interaction as much for you as I'm knowing we're on track. So I'm sure you've said that before. All is well, Nikki. You've probably said staging things to me more than once. God bless your pee picking heart. Oh my goodness, I was a bit of a off-kilter client for, God bless Nikki there, well, a few weeks ago, but I'm getting better, aren't I? Oh dear. Okay. So this is your visual. I need not cover it anymore, but I'd love to just see, so that I'm not just yapping at you. Thank you, Nikki. And I'm glad that you're enjoying my process as well. Have any of you in the last couple of weeks had a complete experience of, or a conscious experience of, anyone in the last week? Because I know actually last week you said you had some with your mom, Nikki, which was great. Nancy, you just reported a prospect. Any other real life stories that you want to report, feel free, and please toss it in the chat box where you've been practicing this live. And then the adapted on the speaking scenario is you're aware of their cues that they're giving you. So thank God that I'm not loading up another practice and you can master it this weekend. In fact, speaking of mastery, toss in the chat box one person you're committed to practice this with, having a complete experience of them when you're listening and or when you're speaking. Prospect, client, personal, professional. Toss one person in the chat box to really anchor it in so you're not just listening passively, you're processing it when I go to Weevo. Oh, cool. That's brilliant, Cheryl, at the Power Breakfast, because you've got like half a dozen, 6 to 8 people on stage within 60 minutes, let alone beforehand, you might meet half a dozen people. Brilliant example and scenario. So at a networking event, basically, it's more than that, of course, the Power Breakfast, yet great, or the happy hours that Weevo does, great example. Nikki, personal, don't know who yet. Okay, great, Nikki. And if it comes to you intuitively, feel free to toss that in, and love to hear from Nancy as well. Awesome. Everyone at the group coaching session, I'm going to. Cool. Nice. And that can be handy too, because, you know, when you say everyone, it's good because, for instance, at the end of our mindfulness retreats, when we break silence, we have a talking circle. Shinzen often recommends that we pick one practice, like see out or feel in, and pick one and just continuously, every 2 minutes or so, it changes with a different person speaking, and yet the practice is the same. So that's a fun way to do it as well. Somebody will show up. Yes, Nikki. Weevo happy hour at end of call. Yay! Again, not like last week, everything fresh on the mind. So are they in the Creekside? I think it's a different location this week. Let me know, Cheryl. Brett was mentioning it to me earlier. Okay, so this week, though it's a similar sequence, we're going to practice it right here now a little differently. In the practice, so we're going to play prospect or client, shall we say. And here's how I'm going to suggest we do this in a very interactive, get you on your toes kind of way. We might actually be able to do all three of you. I'm going to be your prospect or your client, because we're in service mode. I'm going to be your client, and each one of you, one after the other, is actually going to interact with me. And the invitation, so let's say, Cheryl, you're going to tell me what you want me to be, whether it's a corporate client or a hotel client or whatever. And Cheryl and I are going to interact. And Cheryl is going to do her best to practice the mindfulness practice while she's interacting with me. So I'm adding one layer of complexity and rubber meets the road experience. And likewise, we'll do that with Nancy and Nikki. While Cheryl's interacting with me as the entrepreneur, Nikki and Nancy, you're going to practice having as complete experience of the process, at least myself as the client and perhaps as the service deliverer, the entrepreneur. Was that at least clear enough to jump in and give it a try? And if not, any questions? Yep, great, Nikki. Everything fresh in my mind. They're coming in now. Oh, corporate. Okay, great. Corporate. Sure. Yes. Yay. 333. Okay. So why don't we, jump in actually with Cheryl. So if you want to unmute Cheryl, you want me to be a corporate client. Is this for art on the walls or is this for creativity training?
Let's do the creativity training.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so it doesn't really matter what the content is. It's more the you practicing, both having an outer game experience of talking to a client or prospect, say, as well as doing the best you can to track on a mindfulness standpoint. Obviously, you're not going to use spoken labels. They're going to be internal labels. And you're going to do your best to have a complete experience of what I want as the prospect, even though you're still wearing an entrepreneurial hat of wanting to quote unquote close the deal, or old paradigm, or more importantly, come to the best answer to, is your creative classes going to solve my problem? All make sense?
Yes.
All right. So, well, it doesn't matter what part of the conversation. Obviously, we can't do the whole sales conversation. We're going to just jump into a piece, but the invitation is to be present to me, the prospect, more than you ever have before, in a way that's curious and desiring to serve me rather than panicked about trying to sell me. That's the invitation and the shift.
Okay.
All righty?
Yes. So,
I'll make it easy for you to kick it off, and we'll be sort of mid-conversation. So let me just recap here, Cheryl. What I'm sensing is you offer creativity classes. Is it more dialogue creativity classes, or is it actually hands-on art? So I'll ask that sort of first part. And then I'm open, but I'm just wondering whether, I mean, we design new Nike running shoes, and I'm just not sure whether painting is going to be the answer, as opposed to like we're looking at somebody else who runs a course, Edward De Bono's Six Hats Thinking. It's a creativity course that I know has worked in business before. So I know I sort of stockpiled a few thoughts there for you, but want some clarity of what you do, and or that's our scenario, and I'm comparing in my own mind another creativity training and just kind of wondering what's really going to work for us.
Well, those are fabulous questions, and the course is a little bit of both. It's experiential and it's communicative within the group. So I explain the process to your employees or your team. Mm-hmm. Then we go out and paint, and I do a quick visualization to open them up and release the mindset of what they think a painting should look like or how it should be painted. And after we do the first painting, we come back in and sit down and talk about everyone's process. And they're amazed at how they open up on a different level from how they know their coworkers from the past. And they start asking questions and they get deeper into who they are as people, which then builds a much better team. So when they go back in to design Nike shoes, they have all sorts of new ideas that are popping into their head because they've got a new way of looking at each other as well as looking at the creative process.
Interesting. So I'm just trying to maybe just one more round and then we'll pause. Just wondering, is it more than team building? Than like it's all well and good that people might open up more, they might get to know themselves more, they might kind of see their teammates in a different way. And not that we have to have this other outcome, but I'm just wondering, will they be practicing painting or drawing or sketching different running shoe designs? Like, will it go straight at the product design, or are you recommending that we sort of come in the back door, so to speak, and not go straight for what they typically do and just get the opening up and team wins?
So you're talking about at the training, not when you're at work?
Yeah, at the training.
So yes, when we're at the training, we do not do a practical application because that's not going into the creativity. That's going more into the technical and into the mindset. I'm trying to get them during the process to get out of the mind and go into the creative process, which opens up the right side of the brain as opposed to the left side of the brain. So it's all about creativity and flow and playing with paint and playing with color and seeing what happens and what wants to come through as opposed to trying to make it look like something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'm going to pause there. Great job. And it was interesting because we were double timing. We were both being mindful as well as, you know, having a sales conversation. I'm going to come back to you in a moment, Cheryl, but I'd love to hear from Nikki and Nancy, and you can unmute, as you were applying the mindfulness practice, what were you hearing, seeing, or feeling about me, the prospect, that you may not have picked up on before?
I picked up a little bit of confusion and, you know, kind of like just not really getting it. Like, because the other thing that I was picked up was that, again, coming back to the outcomes, right? So...
meaning that I was coming back to the outcomes, or that she should, or
that Cheryl could have, you know, maybe asked a few more questions about what it was that you were a little confused about, And instead of going into the how, more go into the outcome or the benefit.
Yeah, great. So let's just take your, and we may or may not be right in life, but we're guesstimating. But I'm thrilled that you just had a mindful noticing as you were listening more deeply to me as the prospect. Let's just say Nancy was right, that I was a little, her mindfulness had her notice that I was a little more confused. What might be a different approach? Like just actually run it, not conceptually, but what would you actually have said to me, Nancy?
Well, you started off and you stacked two or three things on top of each other.
Yep.
So I would have come back and wanted to unpack it a little bit more.
Great.
And as I was unpacking it, kind of see if I could get a feel for what it is, like what your kind of trigger points would be, you know, what are you looking for?
Second, Cheryl, we'll hear from you in a moment, but if you can just mute, because I'm sure there's lots of good fun going on there, just so we can all hear better. Thank you. Go for it, Nancy.
So I would have unpacked it and just kind of dealt with the thing that I felt from you was the biggest win.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. And so what it might sound like, Cheryl, and this is not like for sure, and you did a great job. One, as she's saying, unpacking it, you did start with great questions. I would have re-highlighted them, and I don't remember it all now, but it would be something like, hey, great question, totally get it. I'm catching three different, you know, three areas. One, you're asking about what does it look like? More importantly, what is the main outcome? And is it directly related to your Nike shoes or not? Something like that. So great. And let me actually go to your results first, Mrs. Prospect, as opposed to going to my workshop techniques and say, I get and I sense, you haven't mentioned it, but I sense there may be a little underlying concern with, will your money be well spent on quote unquote having your team paint? Will that really produce the next award-winning Nike shoe that beats out Reebok, that beats out, and I would actually speak business language about their fears and or their desires in relation to what they actually want to achieve. Award winning meets beating out the competition, and name what their competition is, whether it's different hotels or whether it's different shoe, whatever their competition is. And so say, hey, I know you didn't name it overtly, but I sense you may be concerned with ABC, and will this deliver what I need? I get that. One, so really in hearing the person and or sensing them, you can guesstimate what they may, not assume, but guesstimate what they may be experiencing. And they'll often say, yeah, that's exactly what I'm concerned about. Thanks for naming it.
The other thing that I found a little buried in there that I thought was brilliant, and I would maybe lead with it a little bit more, is this whole idea of the right brain, left brain, and that even if you're right brained, but if you go through a creative process, it opens the white brain even more. So, it was a little further into the conversation, but I think that was like really, you know, that was kind of outcome-y to me. And I thought that was brilliant. And I would have maybe, you know, framed it and brought it in a little earlier.
Exactly. And I loved it too. And what it might sound like, Cheryl, is something the effect of, hey, I could totally get your potential concern of if my employees, whatever, paint their profile, will that have anything, will that actually translate into better award-winning running shoe designs? Let me just give you a couple of highlights on the research about that. Badoom, badom, badoom. Whatever that is, that in fact, if you focus on something else in a creative way and you build the muscle, not in relation to the thing you're trying to do, it actually builds your muscle for later and da, 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 da. So give that research slash, oh, and by the way, I bridge them before the workshop's over. I bridge them back as to how to apply this new creativity process to exactly their challenge back at work, fill in the blank to accomplish that award-winning running shoe that'll beat out the competition. So again, you can replay this. There's lots of linguistics here for you, Cheryl. And as much just getting the vibe of it, I hope has contributed to you. any burning questions before we, in fact, what we might do is instead of tag team to Nancy and Nikki, good stuff, thank you, Lee, you're welcome, to Nancy and Nikki in the same way, what I might do is just roll through and add on the final layer of contributions for tonight, and then we can come back, and Nikki and Nancy, you can choose whether you want to have semi-custom coaching on more the prospect side and or any part of the service side. So if that's cool with you, I'm thinking that will serve both of you the best to have some options. So love to see in the chat box your commitments around, great, Nancy, around applying this process either in a sales conversation and or a service conversation, ideally this week. Even if it's, you know, picking up the phone and having one more exploratory conversation with that horse gal in Tucson, for example, Nikki. Great, Nancy. Love it. I'd love to see what specifically, if it's clear to you, what you're committed to doing this week, each one of you. And welcome seeing that in the chat box. Okay, so on the outer business side, in fact, I'm again incorporating it all. We've got your full client or prospect experiences we just role modeled, clearing any service triggers that you have. And then the outer game of it could be getting clearer on their goals or expectations, delivering an epic experience, and testimonials and referrals, among other things. So let me just give you a few pictures on this. So this is a recap. We don't need the, okay, subconscious reward method. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so the before unit of service on aligning expectations, and I'll give you a picture on each one of these, the during unit of epic outcomes, and the after unit of what's the next step and or testimonial and or referrals is what we're about right now on this final stretch of contribution and loop back to you. So three final images is here is right out of Rewired for Business, the $10,000 12-month program around Rewired for Business is out of module 9 around the service delivery. There is a before unit in selling and serving. There's a during unit in serving, and there is an after unit. And so let me fill in the blanks even more. The main thing in the during unit is producing epic outcomes. And that really is a make or break. And those epic outcomes lead to even higher outcomes that they want to hire you for to produce, and or rave referrals, and in fact, this should say rave testimonials as well. Let me do a final image of just breaking down this middle zone, and then Nikki and Nancy, you can ask for what customized areas you want to focus in on. So this mid zone, I tried to have it all in the replicate take zone, but at any rate, there's really an intake or an onboarding process. Can we make that even more memorable, even more sending our prospects flowers, who knows what, but making that even more smooth or memorable, communicating with them early on. I call it educate or facilitate. Some people, you know, maybe Tony Robbins, I don't know who does more indoctrinate, but educate or facilitate in terms of our staging, horse healing, artistic advisory boardness. And then resulticating, it was the only one that didn't have one of those endings, but at any rate, producing the results, celebrating, don't forget to anchor the wins in for your clients, and then replicate at a higher level. So that is hopefully taking the complex of the entire service of business and making it more simple. And I will pause here now for Nikki and Nancy to say, would you like to practice what would be most useful to you now as a final contribution this evening? More on the prospect conversation, more on a client conversation, more about one piece of your service steps that you'd like to make even more powerful. I am open to, and I think the next image is about, yes, customizing it to each one of you. So what would be one, you may be satiated, you may be full, which is fine also. But if there's one extra win that I can support you in this evening, I'm open.
So, I mean, I guess my combination of the two, which would be kind of the marketing, advertising, and to get that first conversation.
Uh-huh. So more on the lead gen side.
Right. Or, yeah, like, I mean, so cause that would be kind of a system, but that's like the before. So, you know.
Yeah, I was referring more to the before on service. And yes, I'm happy to go to the before on lead gen.
Or I mean, like, if that would be better served to say, okay, I've gotten the lead and I'm sitting down with the prospect. So it's kind of like, you know, how do I get the prospect and then how do I talk to them? And then there's always the follow-up. I need help with it all.
Gut feel, which one would you like to make some wins on right now?
I think the opportunity to have the sales conversation.
Okay, great. Awesome. Love it. So I'm a corporation and we're just exploring having an advisory board. Yes?
Okay. Yes.
Sweet. Okay. And again, the content is sort of secondary in a way. I'll kind of make something up and it's more about just bring that much more mindful presence to what I actually want and I'm actually saying, and therefore adapting your responses to me as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And the role, just like you and Nikki did with Cheryl, for Nikki and Cheryl, is to also tune into, it's almost like you're playing mindful sales coach now, the hat you're putting on. And sometimes it's easier for you to learn about sales when you listen to somebody else. So this can be as big a win, just like Nancy got some wins listening to Cheryl. All right. So, I'll just kind of jump in midway like I did with Cheryl. So, how can I say it? Nancy, it's an interesting possibility. What is my roadblock? There's a gut feel like, conceptually, the idea of having my ideal, you know, people who've already won, who've already succeeded, who've already been where I've been, to guide my business sounds epic, delicious. Who wouldn't want it yesterday? My reservations from the reality that, you know, life is messy. So the reality of actually rolling it out are probably two major blocks. One is I'm already working too hard running the business, let alone building this thing. I know you will support me in building it and do a lot of it, but I still got to nail, well, what kind of people do I want and what, and maybe interview them or talk to them, or maybe you'll do some of that, but I'll still need to somehow. And then I'll have to meet with them and then I'll have to actually delegate something to them to help me with. And how do I even articulate what's the problem in my business? So there's that whole kind of time, can I even handle it? One,
right,
on many levels, the before and the during. And then the second kind of is this, what if I don't like their ideas? And do they feel underwanted? And do I feel pressured? And how do I back myself out of it? And
yeah. Okay, so I totally understand your concern. So first of all, one of the biggest issues that people have is they get a little confused and misunderstanding between a advisory board and a board of directors. So there actually is no, if you don't like their ideas, you don't have to listen to them. So that's the first thing.
In theory, but wouldn't they get disenfranchised if their ideas kept not being implemented?
Well, again, I think what you'll find through the experience is that you're going to get ideas because you've been in this business for a while. You understand masterminds. You understand what happens when not just two minds, but imagine 6 to 8 of like successful CEOs or presidents coming together and helping you grow your business. Now, I know that there is probably a good 6 or 8 people who've been watching you, who want to see you succeed, but you've never given them a vehicle to allow you to do that. So what I would do is I'm going to help manage all these things for you because yes, I've developed an actual 5-step process, but you're right. First, we need to sit down and decide what the purpose is. Like, Do you want, do you need funding? Do you need advice? Do you need, you know, there's a variety of different, so we can establish the purpose. So would that help you get a little more clarity if you understood the purpose of it and you were able to articulate that?
Okay, we'll pause because we've got lots of material there. Good job. I'll come back to you in a moment. Nikki or Cheryl, what did you notice as you were more mindful that I was expressing and either what worked and how Nancy responded and or give her suggestions about, you did a great job, and what else, just respond to me as if we're live to give her, you know, audio of what it could sound like.
Have what I got was that you're kind of in overwhelm, concern ideas are gonna flow.
So your internet's a bit rough. I don't know if you do anything to come across clearer.
Oh, good luck with that. Hang on, just.
Oh, that got better for a second.
Hang on.
Yeah, you're better now.
Is this any better?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So maybe there was some outside interference.
Yeah, it's getting a little stormy here.
Yeah. Okay. And I know the internet out in this rural area is not always reliable.
No, we got
So what I felt from So what I felt from you is a bit of overwhelm about, like, you know, I've got so many things on the go already, and why do I want to do this in the first place? Like, my business is successful, and yeah, maybe there's some areas that I could work on, but do I really have the time, and are the people that I'm working with really going to even contribute anything that's worthwhile? It's kind of what I got.
Yes, and or what would they feel like if I didn't implement it? Yes,
and
yes.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because you have an idea of where you want your business to go, and it's always difficult as a business owner to let go of some of that control and say, okay, hey, I'm willing to listen to your idea because you have a vision of what you want it to be.
Exactly. So what are some other possible ways she could respond to me? What might that sound like?
You know what, I would go into the, like, I would actually say, okay, like, what people are you working with? Like, do you have concerns about any of the people you're working with? Is there somebody perhaps that, you feel maybe doesn't fit into the whole scheme or doesn't have the same vision as you? Because when you're doing a business, you have to all sort of be on the same page. So
I'm going to pause you just for a second because you may not understand the sort of advisory thing. Definitely on the first half, there's basically two halves: the mindful recognition, which you reported and I think contributed to Nancy very well. And I'm sensing you're starting to talk about people that she's already, the business person is already working with that may or may not be working. And Nancy's referring to bringing a whole new crew of additional people in.
Okay. So
you're not necessarily working with each other's businesses. So no problem.
Yeah.
But great job in terms of the first half of the two halves, which is bringing more mindfulness and awareness. Just so we have time to get to you, Nikki, let me play with it, Nancy. I think you did very well, as I say, on all accounts. And I would say you half addressed my one concern, which is you don't have to do what they say. It's not a board of directors. Yet you could have gone another round on giving me a live story of a business owner declining advice and yet still having a great relationship with their advisory board. So that would have anchored in my angst of not implementing what they advise. So I would have gone to a story, if possible, to proof of that, don't worry, that's not an issue. So that would be the second half of handling that one that would have had me feel more emotionally gut relaxed. So I'm feeling a pressure of implementing advice of people I haven't even met yet. So that would be my second half of what you did well. The other one in terms of my own time, I can't say is you addressed that concern because you went back to telling me what the process was, which I already knew, which was, we're going to do step one and we're going to define your purpose. And you said, would that be helpful? Well, theoretically, of course it would be helpful, but I started to get overwhelmed into, God, the whole thing's going to take me a lot of time.
Right.
And so how could you have, and I sense you were aware of that. So just taking a second run at it, just briefly highlight, how could you have addressed that concern in a different way?
I could have talked about the fact that, you know, your time commitment would have been limited to a couple of half day sessions and the actual meeting. And other than that, you wouldn't have to worry about anything.
That's totally sexy from a feature standpoint. So I know, oh, I can manage that. And or if you had enough data, this would be built into your discovery questions, getting at the cost and time that. One, what are my biggest challenges? What are the costs of them? And what is the time it's taking to deal with them now? Both the cost of lost opportunity and or my time. And therefore, in fact, though it may be 2 half days and a blah, 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 we're actually saving that 3 days a month, a bad old system, because we're going to get a better design for you. So from the discovery questions, you may be set up to address my objections in the second half. Make sense?
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Miss Nikki, even if would depend, regardless of how you're feeling, I'm going to suggest that I play a horse owner and we have the prospect conversation.
I think that's a great idea, Heather.
Isn't it? Isn't it? And you know how I
it's
love
a fantastic
to
idea.
I love to kick yes. that mind out and get real. All right, girl. You're awesome.
Yes, you do.
So energetically, we were already doing that. And out on the inner game and outer game, we are. Okay. So, okay, Nikki. I've got half a dozen mares and a stallion. I have been fairly successful in my competitions, but they're getting older. They're getting more ailments. I have been normally working with allopathic or mainstream veterinarians. I have read about and am open to alternative modalities, but I just, it's just sort of an unknown for me. I don't know whether we'll get the same results or better at more or less of a cost and more or less ease to my horses. So that's my main, it's not so much an objection as an unknown.
Got it. Let me just ask you a question. Do you believe that the body has the capacity to heal itself?
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's the realm that I work in. What this procedure or technique does is to just remove the interference. How can I explain this?
I'm actually going to pause you for a second.
Okay.
Because you did such a good job on the first question. I want to keep you on that track for a moment. So I got shivers in my body when you asked that question. People buy on emotion and justify with logic. So, and you got a strong response from me. Absolutely. So I would keep me in that vibration feeling space with one or two more inquiry questions before you, quote unquote, go into advocacy or teaching me about your process.
Okay.
Even more ready and more open. So what else could you, what one or two other discovery questions could you ask me that would be very.
Okay. So based on, I got it. Based on that, have you ever, you know, gone to bed feeling great, and then you wake up in the morning and you've got a kink in your neck and you have no explanation why?
Absolutely. It might have even happened this morning. which is also good. You're moving me. First question had me in a state, and the second question, I don't normally interrupt, but this is really good. Second question had me in a kinesthetic state. So great. Go next.
So understand that your animals, they respond in the same way that we do, right? They have emotions, triggers, visual, something happens, and you have no explanation why. Have you ever had your vet look at your horse and she or he says, I have no idea what's wrong with this animal. There's nothing wrong like that I can see on x-rays. Have you ever had an experience like that?
Yes. Yes, and it's disturbing because you care about the animal and the vet bill's high and we don't have a solution still.
Exactly. So that's when you start doing experiments. Well, it could be this and could be that, could be this, and then you start trying things. Is that correct?
Yeah, and or we go into more diagnosis depending on whether they've got any other diagnosis options or whether they have to, so yeah, shoot in the dark and go for possible prescription options. Yes.
Right. And what kind of results have you gotten from doing that? Like either, you know, with regard to the health or cost or both?
Yeah, great, great. I'd say mixed. I'd say 40% we hit the results on the first round, and 60% it's this annoying, ongoing, expense building, maybe mild, but not really full solution.
Got it. So what if you could have something that could actually, you know, just get straight to the cause, and within a couple of treatments, you'll actually start to get results, even though, you know, your vet says there's nothing wrong.
Yes, and I could go on all day. I have such a shit-eating grin on my face, I can't even tell you. Nikki, you're doing a great job. You haven't even explained your process yet. The first question gave me a feeling state. The second gave me a kinesthetic state. The third gave me a pain point around my cash. The fourth got me even more specific around the frustration and the cost and the time, and got me aware of the problem of what I thought was my lifelong solution, which was called veterinarians. It's freaking brilliant. So own it, Sunshine.
I'm going to have to listen to this today again because I'm like, what the hell did I just say?
Yeah. And I know you have more questions inside you because I can feel them. I can feel you've got more questions. So keep asking them, Sunshine. They're awesome.
Okay.
Four of the most powerful minutes of your life. Mark my words.
Yeah, I got it. Thank
everything
you,
else.
Wow.
Is, and I can talk to you like this, excuse me, but everything else is bullshit.
Yeah.
Complete and utter bullshit. This is Nikki.
I've been trying to explain this, and I just need to ask questions.
You do.
Brilliant.
Any salesperson.
I just need to ask questions.
In the new era, yeah. Does. Any salesperson in the new era does. This is the new paradigm. You didn't have to do a damn thing. You just led me a horse to water. No pun intended. Freaking brilliant.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's
thanks.
What I'm talking about. You're welcome. And everyone take notes and listen again and just adapt. It wasn't just one question and then go for the close like she went for. Close meaning the description of what I do. I stopped her. Then she went 2, 3, 4, 5, and they were all relevant and all useful. And there's more.
Yeah, because I think that, and then you can start saying, well, what, you know, what would be the, you know, what would it mean to you if your horse felt like, you know, and then kind of like ask questions around the outcomes.
Yeah.
Like, what is it costing you?
Yes, 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 yeah. And before, though, what she's done is gone straight on to the competition. That's what you actually did. You asked questions about their typical go-to solutions. And you started to unveil what most people have never realized is that we've been brainwashed to go to doctors and veterinarians. And you don't have to preach about it. You don't have to be the devil's advocate. You don't have to push them. You don't have to convince them of anything. You just walk them through an exploratory dialogue session. And all of a sudden I came to the conclusion of, oh my God, maybe veterinarians aren't the be all and end all. Because even if I thought they were, they're statistically not actually producing all the solutions I need. And they're expensive.
Yeah.
You just had me unsell myself from veterinarians.
Cool.
In like five questions. So yes, you can do it about the pain. You can do it about the gain. You can do it about their past attempts. You can do it about the competition. You can do it about the cost, what is worth to them, all of that stuff. And those are all replicatable for all of you and for all entrepreneurs. And I'm thrilled we ended with this. And you all have different pieces of the conversation, but hopefully collectively in the last half hour or so, you've all started to shift to the exploratory version of life and the facilitative version and the walk down a road. You are a guide in the conversation. You are the pro with the great questions to guide them to a great conversation. Freaking brilliant. Amen.
Cheryl, you made me wish I was a horse so you could heal me. Cheryl.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so do listen to this recording.
Oh, I have to listen to this again because I gotta write this stuff down.
All three of you in the last 30 minutes have all got gems that are applicable to all of you. It's the same thing. It's the same new paradigm.
Oh no, it was brilliant for this, the coaching you gave to Nancy and Cheryl. It was just like, wow, okay, I gotta like, okay.
Yes.
So thank you, ladies, for being on this call as well.
Yay. The rest is just like various blah, blah, blah. Not really blah, 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 but the playbook, as you can imagine, have a service inner experience, have a service outer experience or prospecting, either one. Share the goodies with your accountability partners. And bring them back to the mastermind, real practice, real commitments, real work in this final week as we wrap around the bend. Let's officially end and feel free to do any PSs because we just knocked it out of the ballpark. 3, 2, 1, we are champions. Oh my goodness gracious.
Woohoo!
And even I was
awesome call. Yeah. I am ever glad I didn't miss this.
Yeah, you and me both on all four of our accounts, you know. Even I was like, okay, I want to bring it to the next level. I want to bring it, how can we do it? And we, the four of us, just knocked it out of the ballpark together. So I'm thrilled. Final champions? Woohoo! Great call. Awesome, Cheryl. Enjoy the Wevo Power Hour, Happy Hour. Oh my goodness. And yes, feel free to say hi to the team out there, Cheryl. From Heather. All righty. Wonderful champions. Unless there's any final PSs, celebrations or otherwise, let's kick off into a great week continued in the prospecting and or client servicing. Be mindful, be brilliant, ask great questions, up the game. You're welcome, Nikki. We all are awesome. It's true. Alrighty, wrapping up on record, and I'm thrilled you guys are going to listen to it again, and I'm going to congratulate you now on having listened to it again. Good on you.